bless you. It's a wonderful blessing to know that we have a Lord when we wake up in the morning. Some things you go through at night, at least I do. It's a pleasure to wake up the next morning. God bless. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Genesis, the 6th chapter. Verses 1 through 13. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We're thankful for you ever being mindful of us. Lord, taking care of us and looking after us, Lord, even when we don't know that we have need of what we have need of. But Lord, you know. And we thank you for providing it for us. God, we ask you to bless each and every one, God, that has come this morning. Father, that you would touch their hearts, Father, whatever need they may have. Lord, you would provide it for them. God, take away any sorrows or doubts. Lord, just fill it with your love and mercy. God, we ask you to guide us and bless those in the Sunday school classes that they may receive a blessing that will strengthen them along this journey that they have to travel. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale and touch him in a special way. God, that which you have given unto him to bring forth unto us, let our hearts be open to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis 6, verses 1 through 13. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them,
that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were all which they chose.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the children to them, the same became mighty men, which were old.
And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart were only evil continually.
And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him that his heart.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God.
And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and
Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
And God said unto Noah, that the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full with violence through men. Behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Amen. God bless you. Maybe see it.
Oh, take up your cross every day, and don't be afraid to say that you know him. Count up the cost. cross and take up the cross and follow him. Oh, take up the cross and follow Jesus. And take up your cross every day. And don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count up the cost, count up the cost, and take up the cross and follow him. Oh, take up the cross and follow Jesus. And take up the cross every day. And don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count up the cost, take up the cross, and follow him.
There is power.
Oh, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder working power.
Amen. It's that bleeding, bloody word there's power in, that revelation. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say,
there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Bless you, brother. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
The service as Brother Dale comes this morning. You know, the most important thing you could pray for is revelation. Amen. It's the opening of our eyes of our heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. And I want to see.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Turn around and shake hands with one another. You might be shaking hands with a visitor this morning. So we're all gathered together. Amen. Good to see each one. Welcome to all of the visitors. Maybe some that have been here before. So you know what we do. We say, first time you get a welcome. Second time you just part of us. And I think there's some here from Brother Banks Church over in South Carolina. So we... And maybe some have been here before, so then we just say to you, welcome. Two in the corner have been before. Oh, okay. Yeah, the two in the corner now, they've been here before. They're from a little further, more northeast, I guess, or north, I guess. Yeah, they're Georgia ones. All right, good to see Brother John, Sister Mai. Good to have you. Amen. But it's good to see all the others, all the visitors and everything. We say to you, welcome. All right, we got a whole bunch of things to remember, and I'll forget a half of them, but just, I got them wrote down here anyway. Okay, remember now to the couples, the Valentine's banquet will be coming up this coming Saturday, so remember that and come and all of us fellowship together and have a good time, you know, in the Lord. Remember Brother Darty, his eyes is bothering him pretty bad, and they still can't get them straightened out, so just remember that. Remember, Brother Bob will be ministering this coming Wednesday. All right, and two, now we're going to start this afternoon only. Everybody with me? We're going to start 15 minutes early this afternoon. All right, 1:45. Everybody got it? Reason we are, Wade and I and his buddy are going to travel up into Illinois to look at some deer hunting land, and we want to try to get out as quick as we can this afternoon because that way we can travel on with him. All right, not cut nothing short, just move it back a little. So remember, 1:45, and the minister will be in the pulpit by 2 o'clock, okay, to the musician, so that'll get us out of here a little bit earlier this afternoon. Okay. Father's Day weekend for the fathers and their children, the boys and things. We do have the cabins rented. You will not be having to sleep out in the tents this time. It will be totally inside with air conditions and everything and all of that. So remember that Father's Day weekend. All right. Maybe I got everything, but
Sunday,
we just leave here like we did before from the evening service, go on up to the fathers. And we had about 30, I guess, or 30, over 30 last year. And, some had to sleep out in these, you know, tent things that they put up, and it was a little hot. So we get everybody in air conditioned place, you know, where we can all do. And the kids. Okay, now what's the other? I know I'm missing something. Yeah, Bible study this coming March the 1st, you know, the first Saturday in March, okay, will be the Bible study. We'll always have that first Saturday in 6 o'clock. But we're going to meet. Now, listen, I'm announcing it for everybody, and basically everybody looks like they're here. At this time of the year, we have to have a vote on officers and et cetera, et cetera. So what we're going to try to do, if you will, we meet at 6 o'clock, but if you will, meet at 5 o'clock up here in the sanctuary to all of those who have offices, you know. Now, an office is one you're responsible for, not to say stand-ins and things, but for the officers of the church, we need to meet if we can, and basically everybody comes to the Bible study. So we'll try to do that and get everything set and kind of go through a little line at 5, between 5 to 6. That would be the first Saturday in March, okay? We'll be going through what the offices are and how doing. We've got a lot of things to cover. So remember that. Okay. All right. Is that all? Maybe it is. I'll find another note sticking over here somewhere in a minute, and I'll be there. Okay. We're going to 1 Peter that we haven't read but 11 times so far. So I thought, well, we're going to end this today. Sitting in there now, I got about 8 more sermons. Okay. So, you know, it just goes that way. But we're going to 1 Peter 1:13, and then we'll go over to Revelations 3:21. Okay? Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to be able to fellowship together around your word. We pray that you'd be with us and guide each and every one of us. And Lord, open our eyes to thine understanding that we may walk in your love and your grace. Be with each one. Remember Brother Daugherty there, Lord. Touch his eyesight. And just remember all the other sicknesses among us. Remember our wife, Lord, and having the problem with the sinuses and the congestions and the things. And Lord, little Abby with ear infection and Brother Al, Lord, and just many among us that are sick. You said you sent your word and healed us, so we believe you. Just have your way now. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? Now, we've read this before, and what it is, it's coming down to a point to establishing something that I believe is taking place in this day. Because now, remember, my whole emphasis, whole point out of 11 messages has been one thing. To try to get us to look at things more positive, to look at what we're doing, look at the day and the hour we're following. We can look out there and see the world and how it's falling. We can see all those things. But that is not going to put us in the rapture. I don't care who and what goes on out there. It's the revealed word that is the thing that we need. All right, so that's doing that, and it's getting to the point of what? Present tense. All right, you remember what the prophet said. I'll review this in a minute. Say it to 15 times. All right. Our problem is looking back and looking forward. He said that's where Satan's tactic was, to get us to look backward or look forward and not look at what's taking place right now. You say, but Brother Dale, I don't see much going on. Open your eyes. You can read the newspaper and see what's going on. Well, you know, if that's going on, there has to be something taking place in the bride. All right. Now, what did the prophet say when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for? Satan will be powerless before her. Oh. That's a simple statement, isn't it? Okay. But just remember that. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, at the end time, to where the word of God is fully revealed. Is that what he's saying? All right. Now, let's go to Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, what has been our point? Why is it that we cannot stay on the level that the prophet left when he was here? Now, I say that with respect to the point of what I'm talking about. I believe if anybody ever had a positive attitude, all right, and I'm talking about our day and people and times, you know, I believe it was the prophet, don't you? That everything was positive with him. It was never negative. It was always positive. Okay. Now, and if that, now, that didn't do away with his heartaches and troubles. As a matter of fact, that brought more of them. That created a lot of problems. But a positive attitude is the thing that we all need. And why not? We're 50 years almost or something past the going of the prophet. All right? As I kept emphasizing, why did the children of Israel have to stay 40 more years or 30 technically and down in Egypt? Was because they had turned down the word that had been brought to them. Right? Now, could it be that that's what's happening now? Or is God given an opportunity for mankind to turn it down? It sure looks like they're doing it. Because what used to be on your internets and things, of great things, you know, catch the victim. Not that one. What was the other one? Believe the sign. Oh, boy, great. Brother Branham was a prophet. Everything was great. All at once, bloop. Brother Branham's a false prophet. Now, that's according to them. You go on your internet now and just see what they're doing to this message. Now, the message is fine. It's what we're doing with it. All right? It's what we're doing is messing everything up. So that we don't need our thoughts. All right? 50 years we've been here because of you and me. But Brother Dale, I've been, well, all right. You know, I'm just telling it like it is. We don't have 50 more years. A few more, we're going to be in a nursing home. If possible. You know. But I want to get out of here, don't you? Amen. All right. I want to believe what has been brought unto us. So what did the prophet bring? Recognizing your day and its message. All right. There shouldn't be any problem to recognize the fact that God has sent a prophet. That shouldn't be any problem. There's witnesses sitting here that was there when the dead was raised, the sick was healed, and things like that, to the word, you know, by the prophet's ministry. All right? There's some sitting here that was there. All right? We've got witnesses, living witnesses, still unto that day as being true. You know? All right? Now, then, the problem must be in the basis that we're not accepting what God has declared for the day that we're living. You know, we're not accepting who we are and what we're here for. Thank God that he sent us a prophet. Amen. But that didn't finish it all. There's got to be a bride who becomes the word. All right? And not to just read it. Not to be able to quote it. Okay? But for it to be a living reality in our hearts and our lives. And that's been my whole point, just to try to get us to see if we are the bride, then when are we going to start walking in the light of the bride? Now, I'm not, folks. I'm not this way. Well, I think one of these days something's going to happen, make us get desperate. You better get desperate now. I mean, You say, well, it's going to bring, desperation is going to put us where we need to be. Let me quote your prophet, all right? We believe him. What is supposed to bring to pass the things upon the bride? If you're looking for persecutions and things to happen, what's supposed to bring it? I thought it was the readiness of the bride. I thought it was the bride when she begins to realize who she is. Then that out there, it's already set in motion. But then it's going to come after the bride. But it's because the bride has realized who she is and what she's doing. All right. See, then we should start saying, thank you, Lord, you know, for giving me what you have given me, the message that I can study it and believe it. All right. Now, get that point across and we'll move on now. So we've come up through the church ages. We started a little series about 9 or 10 messages ago on the 7 church ages. All right. And bringing up those ages, give you a fast run through to the visitors. And I ask you to read the church ages and you'll see what is each one. You'll find 4 things that happens in each church age. And if you'll read it, you'll see each church age has those 4 things. All right. So it's a pattern or a layout of the way God does things. First, he'll always tell the church who he is. See, unto the angel of the church of this, unto the angel of the church of that. Then he'll say, the saith the amen, the faithful and true witness. All right, so number one is what? Always he tells who he is. Okay? Second, now they may not be laid perfectly in order to read them, but they'll be in each church age. The second thing we talked about was the fact of God would praise his people for their stand for the word. Each age had a praise, has praise, to showing the fact of what each age is going through. Now, each overcomer will relate to that age. We're not trying to drag this out, trying to cut it short. But see, each age, their overcomer will be related to the age of what's taking place. All right. Number one, he shows the church who he is. Number two, now every age, now you read it. Number two, he praises that church bride. Let me say bride because, you know, the prophet uses church a lot, but let me say bride, all right? Number three, he rebukes every age for leaving the word, for the things they have among them, for the things that are that has been brought. You said, but the bride, now there's where we go in the, you know, we go in the message people, and I've heard this, the God didn't rebuke that true bride. If I was you, I'd read a little bit. I mean, there's something wrong with your reading. He rebukes the true bride just as well as he rebukes the false bride. Okay? Because he rebukes them for getting away from the word. Oh, no, they stayed with the word. Well, now, you're in bad shape because I got a pretty good remember of natural thing. You know, we used to basically all be tied up in organized religion somewhere, following somebody or somebody's twisted up thoughts and trinities and no eternal hells and ideas like that. So don't think we've come down through there as a goody two-shoes. No, he rebukes every age for getting away from the word of God. All right? So what does he do? First tells who he is. Second, he praises the church. Third, he rebukes then. But that's not the end of it because every age it ends with an overcomer and telling that overcomer what a great opportunity it is to be in Christ for that day and time that they're living. And he shows each age what their inheritance is. Right. All right? Amen. There's your 4 things. Now, each age will do that. Amen. You read it, and then you read the next age. All right, it's a pattern that God lays down to where that we can follow and see where we're at. Amen. Now, you get to the seventh church age, there's very little praising. Now, he starts off telling that he's the beginning of the creation of God, Revelation 3:14. All right. Next, he does a little praise of the bride coming through, but not as much praising as the previous ages a lot of times, because look how far we have gotten away from the truth. So perverted and so twisted up until, you know, there was hardly anything left until he wound up being where? You say, don't rebuke that. Well, how come he's knocking at the door of the bride trying to get back into his bride? Right? So it's always telling who he is, telling the point of praise, telling the point of rebuking, but then telling to the overcomer what each overcomer expects. You remember how we started the series? To me, it's marvelous that before he even started writing to the church ages, you remember what that was? Chapter 1, he spends verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11, all pray telling who he is. Now, what's the next thing? Verse 12, 13, going on through there. One standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That's God in bride form. Feminish. Paps. You know, God in bride form. All right? So here was my point, and it's always been, before he starts anything of the book of Revelation, you would agree at least that the book of Revelation shows the most horrible things that will take place in this day, right? You know, you got your floods, you got your earthquakes, you got all of your things, you got all of the world falling apart, everything coming to an end. All of that is in the book of Revelation. But before he starts telling all of that, he tells you how perfect the bride is. You remember that? That before he starts telling all the bad things, he tells you how perfect you are. All right? Then he writes the ages. And the finality of each age is to the overcomer of that age and what they're going to inherit. All right? To the overcomer. They're going to inherit certain things. All right? Now, here's the point. You remember he said that each church age inherits what the preceding church age brought forth. All right, now, preceding means to go forward, but don't get tied up with it. If you look it up in Webster, it can go backward. All right, so that's a perfect word that he used. The prophet used that to say each church age inherits what the previous age gets. But it'll also hold what the future ages will get. I know we're going to read scripture in a minute, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. All right? But get the point. Each age inherits the same as the other. Now listen. Listen to, I'll try to explain something, and I get tangled up in it as a human being. But I believe that there's degrees in the body of Christ. You agree with that? There's degrees in the body of Christ. Everybody's not at the same level, same point, or same thought. It's according to our abilities. It's according to our amount of word that we've been able to hear. It's according to what... And each one of us can be at a different level and different thoughts. You get the stature of perfect man. See, you got people all the way up through here. Okay. Now, are you listening? Then that way, we're not on the same level of understanding because that's normal. I mean, you run an IQ in here and what we'd have. You'd have from my body part, mine on the bottom, all the way up to the top, you know, because I figure I'd be the lowest IQ in the crowd, because that would be, that's just truth. All right. See, we're not the same, all right? Now don't get misunderstand when I'm talking about the preceding age inherit what this age gets or that age over here gets what this age get, and we all come out to be to where that we inherit all things. All right? Now, see, then understand what I'm getting at. So you take the ages and you get the first church age. To the overcomer of that age, he had a right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Second church age, he gets a crown of life, and he's not to be hurt with a second death. Third church age, he gets to eat of the hidden manna, a new name written within that. All right? Fourth age, power over the nations. Give him the morning star. Okay? Fifth church age, clothed with white raiment. And I'll confess his name before my Father. Sixth church age, pillar of the in the temple of my God. You go no more out. Now write upon him my new name. All right. Seventh, sit with me in my throne as I overcame. And sit with him in his throne. All right. Now, those things there now is not talking about your education abilities. All right. You following me? It's not talking about where you are in the basis of what stage you are in Christianity or anything like that. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. That goes with that point that that's according to our abilities, you know, allows us to be. But when you're talking about the church ages now, amen. Each church age gets the new birth. Amen. You agree? Amen. It don't matter what church age it is, each church age gets the new birth. Amen. All right. So now each church age then would have these things laid in front of it to be for the overcomer. Amen. Sure. The part of the overcomer has related to the age that you're in. Okay. That's to the overcomer in the age you're in. That's related to that. The morning star is because of so-and-so, because of this. All right. But understand what I'm saying. It's not talking about your growth development as much as it's talking about what you are given. Think about it then. See? Think about a wonderful age that we live in. We just don't get to sit in his throne. That's wonderful. That's great. But we get white raiment. And your name confessed before the angels. You get to eat of the hidden manna. You get a new name. You'll not be heard of the second death. I mean, is that the only age that where it says, number two age says you won't be heard of the second death? You mean all the rest of them are going to let you be heard of the second death? No, that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is each age gets all of these things. That was where we're kind of ending up the point to talk about. The first age that you get to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. See, everybody gets that. Every born-again believer gets a right to the tree of life. Every born-again believer gets a right to these things that the others are counted overcomer. But like I said, the main thing of you dealing with overcomer, maybe I should take 10, 15 messages on that, but, you know, the main thing you're talking about the overcomer is it's in relation to the age. It's in relation to the bad. It's not in relation to your new birth. You have the new birth. If you have the new birth, you don't, you are in the age and got the problems. But if you got the new birth, all right, you will one day, maybe not as they back there, maybe they didn't understand that. Maybe they didn't understand what they were getting. But to you and me, in this age, we are supposed to have the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, as we keep reading from 1 Peter, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the revelation of the full word, at the completion of all things. We should come forth to say, hey, I've been able to eat of the tree of life. Is this message the tree of life? Did it put us into the paradise of God by the new birth? Won't be hurt in the second death? We can eat of the hidden manna. We can be a pillar in the temple of my God. That's the sixth church age. Coming forth, getting ready for the seventh. And listen, what is that? What is the pillar in the temple of my God? But the Reverend said it's a revelation of Jesus Christ coming forth in that sixth church age as the name being restored. Right? Sixth church age, the name is coming back. Really, it starts back in the fifth. Because it winds up with a name, and they're dead, but yet that means there's something fixing to come forth. And that sixth church age brought forth the pillar in the temple of my God. What? A revelation of Jesus Christ. What are we talking about? I got one in here where the prophet said it. What are we talking about? What are all these things? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And where he's at and what he's doing. And the overcomer in relation, as I said, to the age. Read then the overcomer to each age. Get the church age book. Read what the prophet says about that in relation to the age you're living. All right? Now, are you following me? Get it in the relation of the age that you're living. So what would be the greatest of all revelations that would wind up in this seventh church age? Even though it's the worst of all ages. Even though it's the most horrible of every age, the most deceptive, the most, spiritually speaking of illiteracy. You know, not having knowledge of what's taking place is what I mean. See? And coming to the point of, in this age, I'm not going to be able to get to it this morning, I know. But remember, in this age, we come to be able to see how that we sit in the throne.
Right.
Not on the throne. There's only one. We're going to Revelation 4:1, so you can go ahead and read it.
Right,
and get ready.
Amen.
There's only one on the throne in Revelation 4:1. There's not a whole bunch of people sitting up on the throne. Well, get all that out of your mind. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham in the seal book, where he says that lamb takes the book, climbs up on the throne. I believe it's in the seal book, right? And sits down. Right? Brother Branham said he becomes the one on the throne. He said, what is that? He said, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a throne and a place to sit. I'm serious. I don't care about sitting on the throne with him. You know, maybe that's carnal to you and you don't like it, but that's me as a human. I don't want to sit on the throne. None of us have any right. Now listen, we have no right as human beings to consider the point of trying to sit on the throne with him. What would give us a right to sit there? No one has a right to sit there. He's there by himself, Revelation 4:1. Revelation 5, the Lamb comes forth, takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne. What now? And climbs up on the throne and sits down and said, I'm the one that did it. Now are we in the message? What are you listening? Each age inherits the previous age, or even the preceding could get something. They will get it eventually. Maybe they didn't understand in the day they were living. I was trying to emphasize that a minute ago. Maybe they didn't follow that. Maybe they couldn't understand. Because you can see them with Trinity doctrines. You can see all kinds of, but yet still God never took them away from being his children. Martin Luther might have been a Trinitarian to the core. Of all kind of books. You know about him is what his teachings. But yet, he wasn't thrown out of the kingdom. So when the last age gets to the overcomer of the last age, you see the overcomer of that age is a red age thing. The overcomer of that age gets to eat of the tree of life, which is this message that we're devouring. He's not going to be hurt with a second death because he's going to get a crown of life. He gets to eat of the hidden manna, the secret mysteries of the entire Bible. He has power over the nations because he's given it to you. You give him the morning star. The morning star is Jesus Christ. Is he going to give you a star? Is he going to give you a morning star? No. All of these is revelations about Jesus Christ. Right? You be clothed in white raiment. But everybody gets clothed in white raiment. All bride. Right? And he'll confess our name. We'll be in the pillar of the temple of my God. Brother Brown said he'd take you right back to the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the pillar in the temple of God. See? He'd take you back to the revelation. It's not a building sitting out there. It's not a pushing a stone in a corner. You say, you're carnal. Well, is that striking home that I may be talking about me and you? Remember, I don't preach somewhere else. I'm not preaching to the internet. That's because they're just getting it if they want it. I'm preaching to what's sitting right here today. Trying to get us to see who we are. But what is the last revelation that we read from Revelations 3:21? Sit with me in my throne. All right? Not on his throne, because we're not trying to be that. You remember the lady asked, can my son sit on one side of thee and on the other side of thee in your kingdom? Because now listen to what she's saying. He said, what a woman would have in her heart for her children to do that. All right? That's wonderful. But just remember one thing. She was looking at something natural. Right? She was looking at the natural instead of the spiritual. She wanted one son to sit on one side of him and the other one sit on the other. Now watch. That can't be done because that put somebody on the throne. Are you listening? So he told her, he said, now, it's not for me to give that. Right? That's what Jesus told the lady. Brother Branham said that trial or test had never come into being yet. But it said it will. And somebody will be able to do that. Not sit on his throne. Now we walk into the real truth of it. What? It's not on his throne. The prophet said it. No, that's not what it is. It's in his throne. A lot of difference in sitting in his throne and on his throne. On his throne, you're going to have a problem because there can't be but one on that throne. Oh, wait till we get down one of these days. It'll strike home. You realize that someday, I'm going to say this and just say it and then back away from it completely because there's a dozen messages down the road. Do you realize that one of these days, the sonship will terminate? Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm in the scripture and in the prophet's message. Let's see if you can handle it. So as I always say, swallow. Take a good deep breath. I'm not going to say no more about it. But you got a time to think it over. That the son will become subject. They never will be but one on the throne. There ain't going to be no Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit sitting on the throne. Yeah, we got a long ways to go, haven't we? Okay? Now listen. That's off the message, how can I overcome? To make sure that everybody gets it on the internet. Where he says, each age, the one preceding it, inherits all that the other ones offered. All right. So it doesn't matter whether it's forward or backward. It doesn't matter if you're in the middle church age and you're going backwards or forward. That's why I know I'm so carnal, and that's what gets me. Everybody says, Brother Dale is so deep. And I'm so carnal until it's pitiful. Because you know how carnal I think? Everybody wants Alpha and Omega for the church ages. He's Alpha and he's Omega and he's nothing in between. The prophet said he's everything that's in between. Now he's the one that made the statement there's nothing in between. Because there is nothing between Alpha and Omega. It's the same God being revealed. But that's how carnal I get. Now looking at the candlestick. Which would be the greatest age you'd rather be in? Scripturally speaking, if you're going to take it literal and compound, I'd rather have been in the middle age, which would be here. Right? 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Thyatira, temperance. You say, why? Because the Bible says that he's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Does that mean he's more in the middle? Or is he more in the beginning, or is he more in the ending, or is it all of this that everybody preaches, that he's Alpha and Omega and nothing in between? That's the way they preach it. He's all that's in between. He's everything. So if you're going to be carnal, I'll be carnal with you. So the Bible said he's in the midst. So that would mean he's more in the Thyatiran age than anywhere else. That ain't right.
That's right.
He's the same in every age according to your prophet. Because it's the Holy Ghost, the prophet said, in every age, right? And the Holy Ghost is the same. Now who he's working through might be degreed because that they cannot have the ability to understand the word. But he's still in the every church age, he's in the midst. And each church age just keeps... It keeps piling up until this age. Then what a wonderful statement to make to this age. What a wonderful thing to come to this age and say, to him that overcometh. No, what a horrible age to overcome. But Brother Randall said one day to overcome soft living. You know, that's one of the things. You think it ain't? Ain't none of us wanting to walk home. You go over in Jamaica, and it's raining, and it's doing everything in the book, and there's 200-300 people sitting in a building, and half of them, had, or three-quarters of them, had to walk to get there. Make us ashamed of ourselves. And they're there, rain, sleet, or whatever. They're there. Now, these brothers that's been there, they can witness to that and see it.
Right.
Brother Luis has been a lot of places where the biggest portion of the people had to walk to get to church.
Right.
Well, Bud, you talk about when it shows up on that day. Hey, remember, I believe the Bible. The Bible says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne.
No,
right. No, don't go wrong. It ain't the white throne we stand before, but we're going to stand before the judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. And yet you can lay out of church anytime you want to and just justify it. Well, we'll listen to the tape. I don't ask for a raise of hand because it's be embarrassing. How many of you listen to every service? I listen to my own self 2 or 3 times a week, me and my wife. Before I preach the next week, I listen 2 or 3 times. Sometimes I learn from my own self. And I sat there and looked and said, Lord, that was a good thought. I'm glad you brought that out. Okay? Forget it. But listen, what does it mean to sit in his throne instead of on? Sitting on is easy to understand because you just climb up in these chairs and you're all around. But there's no such thing. Now, here's one. There's no seats. The seats out around is left. Sure, it's for you and me. But it's not up on a throne. It's not up on a platform, as we'd call it, a throne, you know, sitting. No. The 24 elders are all around, all the seven, you know, I mean, all of the combat beasts, all the things is there in Revelation 4:1. We'll get back to it. But there's one sitting on the throne. How is it that you and I can think about sitting in his throne? To him that overcometh, remember what the prophet said. He said it's not what we overcome. It's how we overcome. Right? It's not what we overcome. It's how we overcome. And we can only overcome by being in Jesus Christ, right? By the new birth is the only way we can be an overcomer. Without the new birth, you're not an overcomer. I don't care what it is, how old you are, how young you are. Without the new birth, you're not in sitting in the throne. You might try to manufacture something to try to get sitting on something, but it won't work. I just went through that. There's only one there. There never will be but one there. When the sonship terminates, there never will be but one there. And that doesn't terminate like you think I'm saying it, but it's the way the prophet in the Bible says it, so that's enough for me. All right, that'll come later. But listen, to sit in his throne is in his domain, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? Come on, we've been through all the years of the message and trying to comprehend this, that, and the other. Surely it's easy to understand if you're sitting in his throne that you're in his kingdom. And his kingdom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth in your soul. Now that's how it comes up to bases to where we can say, then he can say, well, sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcome and sit with the Father in his throne. Not going to spend a lot of time because it goes too much into the message to take it. But just remember, the Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth. So you'll sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sit with my Father in his throne. Now, how did he overcome? He came to earth, lived on the earth. He didn't have to receive the new birth to make him to that. He already had eternal life. It's situations of explaining our places. All right? So how do we get in that throne? By the new birth. That's simple. The new birth puts us in the body of Christ. Puts us here at faith in the body of Christ. Then the growth development brings on all the other. But ever born again believers in the body of Christ. That's why ever born again believer then gets these things. It's not that he chooses one age because of this or another age because I've explained that. The overcomer part is because of the situation of life of that age. Yes. But it is not giving the new birth to one and not giving it to the other. Yet I've heard great men say, you know, well, Luther didn't have the new birth, Wesley didn't have it, Pentecost didn't have it. Now, to me, that's as lying as much as anything could be lying about. Because your prophet covers a whole message in the church age book called the Holy Ghost in every age. You say, well, now, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. Come on, get down, let's study the message. Are you going to say the new birth is not the new birth? Are you going to say he's wrong when he said the Holy Ghost in each age is that new birth? Just because you have a preconceived idea of something, well, we don't have what this has. Why not? I'll quote with Brother Branham. I'll show you where he put it in. I beg you to show me where he took it out. So each church age would get the new birth in the body of Christ. They would be a born-again believer in each age to receive the word of that age and make it live. Yes, but we just don't have it like you tell me. I'll go weave in the prophet's message where Brother Brown said the baptism of the Holy Ghost was here back in the 50s. He said just exactly like it was in the book of Acts. Now argue with those things. You know you can't argue with it. You just quieten up and don't say anything. See, but tell me where it's at. I'll show you where he put it in. You show me where he took it out. I'll show you where he says it's in each age. You show me where he says it's not in each age. So each age inherits the same thing. Now, come on. I thought you believed the scriptures. I thought we was kind of over in Romans about 8, what is it, 14, 15, 16, so 14, 15, where he's talking about that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, now how did we wind up being joint heirs? By the new birth, right? The new birth gives our soul eternal life, just as eternal, because it is his life. It's not to just say just as eternal as he is. It is his life. The new birth is the birth of the word for every age and every time, so it puts all of us into the same position. But this age, this is the age that it comes to that will sit with me in my throne. Why did he place it in the seventh church age? Why did he not put that in the first? Because there'd be no way to go to Revelations 4. Revelations 4, you find that throne. Revelations 4, you find that kingdom. You find that one sitting on the throne. Revelations 4. Because that's the one that goes and takes the book, the new birth, and all of the things. All right. Not what we overcome, but how we overcome. The preceding age, okay, we'll get everything. So this age, we'll have it all lumped up into our hands. We get the tree of life. We get all of the things that we read in this age. What a wonderful age to live in. We inherit all things. No, Brother Dale, we just inherit. We just inherit this. We just got something for that age. Okay, go ahead and pull up number 3. Let's read the Bible. Go ahead, brothers, pull up number 3. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. That's not just the seventh church age. That's ever born again believer. Right. Ever born again believer inherits eternal life. Yes. To be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs of the Father because we receive that eternal life. Amen. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ that puts us sitting with him in his throne. Now, his throne's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? Wait a minute. Now you're getting out of it. Well, what is his throne? Because he emphasized to this church age that you'll sit with me in my throne as I overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. How did he become one with the one on the throne? Ain't no two people sitting up there. Now get that out of your mind. It ain't Jesus and the Father sitting there. Right? What is his throne? The Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every church age has that. What is his throne? That we're going to have the right to sit with him in his throne. Now remember, not on, but in his throne. This age has the greatest opportunity. Sure. Because we let stand in a position of a wonderful thing. Because remember, they without us cannot be made perfect. They without us cannot be brought forth into the position they're supposed to be. So it's going to take us to do the pulling. And what is our pulling? We go through the stature of a perfect man. We receive the new birth. And then we start the process of adoption. Adoption. To bring us to the position that, sure, Luther, Wesley, and them never came into the adoptional stages. That was reserved for this age. All right? But don't misunderstand now. Martin Luther and them, everybody in this pyramid received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No matter what age, it was the new birth of that age. You see, you're going to listen to what Brother so-and-so said. These two ones stood right here and declared it. And I done told him twice that wasn't right. I told him before he come to this building he wasn't right. He come right here and said it. I said it again. He said Luther and Wesley and them in the Azusa Street didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, Brother, we'll take Brother Branham's message and we'll just let it answer you. Where the prophet said, I met people with the Holy Ghost, what, 50 years before. He said, exactly like the day of Pentecost. Well, I don't understand that. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Does that make it not right? Because you don't understand it. I'd listen if I was you. I'd go back and listen. I'd read it over. Because a simple illustration. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received the Holy Spirit. Outside, there was 3,000 or 45, 3 or 5 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that only got it at faith because they had no tutoring of the Word. So what happened on Azusa Street? Azusa Street had the original, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost that the 3,000 outside got. But around them was exactly right. Yet we think that we've got this figured out or that figured out. Come on, let's talk about it. Why? Because my soul is involved in this thing. It's not just the fact that I try to preach. It's my soul is involved. All right? But you see, Jesus' throne, he had to come through and give the life that was in him. And that made a way that the Father's throne, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, could come on day of Pentecost. The new birth. All right? And then the inheritances and the things down through the church ages would be dealing with the Father's throne spirit. I'm quoting Brother Branham. All right? But see, that's not Jesus' throne. You say, wait a minute, you're talking about two gods. No, I'm not talking about two gods. I'm talking about the God that's going to amorphy in this last days. Change his form in this last days. to exist on the earth. Because remember now, the next form that he goes to is the millennium, which is Son of David. You need to quote? That is the promise that Jesus will sit on the throne as the Son of David in the millennial reign. The Son of David. The Son of David is God in human flesh. Son of God was God in spirit form. All right? So then for just a moment before it comes into that position of to being the Son of David to fulfill exactly, he comes back as Son of Man. All right? As the Son of Man. Let me state it that way, to where you'll follow it. Because Brother Branham was a Son of Man. Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. All right. Now that's where we stand blunt and plain as we can be on that. Because you can't make him that way. But the bride of Jesus Christ is the, will be the Son of Man. The Word made flesh. There's your age and what God is waiting for you and I to come to a place. So is everybody else waiting for you and I to receive the Word? What is the Son of Man? Page 12. I believe it's right here. It's the rising of the sun, but there's no problem. What is the Son? He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. See? He goes from his throne, goes from the Father's throne, the new birth. All right? And then we get to sit with him in his throne. Why? Because we sit with him in the Father's throne. We got there to the position by coming in the Father's throne, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. All right? See, somebody's going to realize what's taking place. All right? Not bragging, but being serious. To thank an old Trinitarian Baptist would come into this message and pick up this message and walk forth in it. I preached my first sermon in 1969. Also received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that year. And that was 2 years in the message before I received it. So I didn't do like most of you, say that you're in the message so you know you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I never claimed that. I waited until I had something certain. I preached my first sermon, and it was what? The bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man. And I read from Brother Branham back then all I could read. We've got a whole lot more to read now. You say, what are you trying to make us? The Word made flesh. What is to end this thing up? The Word made flesh. Who's to end it up? The Word made flesh. Who's the Word made flesh? The bride of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. Because he was the Word made flesh, John 14, when it gets down to 14 or what? And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? Who was he? He was the Word. Who are we? The Word. The prophet said, you become the Word as you receive the Word. But see, you're not going to get it reading Greer's Almanac. You say, well, how are we going to get it? You're going to get it by hearing. Amen. The Word has to become in you and me. See, there's his throne. That's the real throne he always wanted, because that's his throne where his brothers are at. Amen. Right? Amen. According to Romans, they were joint heirs. Amen. Come on. Until you hit the millennium, You have to stay in connection to get to the millennium, because the millennium is God in human flesh, the Son of David, his rightful throne. All right? Son of David. To do that, if you'll read this, not the mighty God unveiled, but I'll get it in a minute. But anyhow, we must become the Word. That's our job. That's our position. It's not a job. It's a position or a thought. Yeah, but Brother Dale, how are we going to? I didn't make the books. I didn't write it. I'm sorry that I was able to read, because by being able to read, I've offended people. I've become enemy to people because I could read. Well, I'm sorry for that, but not sorry for the Word. This message is to be made alive by somebody, and there is that throne that Jesus Christ had right to and gave up his right to then. At that time, he gave up that seat or that throne at that time. Now listen to what I'm saying. He died. He went to the grave. He went forth. He gave up the right to walk right into that tree of life. He gave it up and went to death. But he walked out of there and defeated death. We're going to have to walk out of death. We're going to have to look at it face to face and just say, forget it. Well, are you afraid of dying? I can't die. No, I can't die. I died a long time ago. It's not the point. If you're afraid of dying, then there's something wrong with your experience. Now, humanly, come on, we ain't going to put a gun to our head and go blow our brains out and run in front of a train to prove something. We're human beings that have problems about death. When I look at somebody, my sister buried the other day, I ask the question, always ask it from Job. Every funeral I do, I ask that question. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I ask that question because death has a sting to it until it's annihilated. And there's death laying in front of you. I said, do you know that your Redeemer liveth? If you don't, the grave is yours. Right? But to know who my master is, because that's what Job stood for. Said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In the last days, I'll stand on the earth with him. And he said, I don't have to worry about it. Death, where's your sting, Paul says. Grave, where's your victory? We were listening the other day to the prophet, and a man said to him, said, aren't you afraid you'll scare people the way you're talking about the end and what's happening and these things and all? He said, why would it scare the bride? Why would it scare the bride? Come on, musicians. Think on these things. To him that overcometh, I'll sit with, and grant to sit with me in my throne. As I overcame. He overcame by being the Word. And we can only overcome by being the Word. And it's not how goody-goody you are. That's our problem. We think it's something goody-goody that we can do, or cause we don't do. Well, I'm glad, Lord, I'm not like that. Something's wrong. When are we going to start believing? When God tells us that we are something, when are we going to start believing it? See a book, Brother Brown gets over there, and he's hammered down hard and hard about the church this way and the church that way, and mentions it. He stops right in the middle of it. He said, I call you bride. Remember that? I call you bride. Well, evidently before then he wasn't capable of calling bride. And he said, I call you bride. The bride only wants to be satisfied where? In his presence. Not to get up on a throne and sit down with him, no. Let him get into you and me. There's a little difference in climbing up and trying to be that and letting him come and live in you. There's a little difference in that. Let him come and live in our heart. Let's stand. What do we got?
Let's sing that little chorus, Through It All. Oh, through it all.
Through it all. Anybody have a need?
Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God, and it's through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word.
Amen. Through it all,
and through it all, yes, through. So I've learned to trust in God, and through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word, and it's through it all, oh, through.
Our sister has asked a request that all the things would work out the way she wants it. And we just ask you to make it manifest. Take care of all things. We know that you are the one that will take care of all things. We give her this prayer cloth, agreeing with these, our brother in here, that it's already finished. All she's got to do is just walk into it. And thank you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen.
And it's through it all. Through it all. Oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all.
We thank you in Jesus' name. All is well. Anybody else?
You depend upon God's word. And it's through it all. Through it all.
You love him?
Through it all. Oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, I've learned to trust in God.
Shake hands with one another and sing that as you're going out. And remember, service is afternoon now, 1:45.